Life is making decisions. Now, you're going to make a decision. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to make a decision in your life, and it's almost continually. You know, in America, it seemed to be the hardest decision everybody's making is where they're going to eat lunch. You know, what we're going to eat today, well, I don't really want that. Right now, we're getting to a point to where we're tickled to death to be getting anything. Amen. So the Lord says, I want you to make decisions. Well, what I've done here, I have broken down 6 points on this. I want us to look at what God says to us about this decision-making process in our individual life. Again, I don't care how young you are, a child, a two-year-old, toddler, that child has got to decide whether they're going to try to take 2 cookies when mama said they could only have one and get by with it, but they got to make that decision, whatever it is. From the beginning of life, we have to make decisions. And God says, as you make these decisions, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that I'm going to be the one that's with you continually. And for the first point on any kind of decision making you're doing, you're going to have to step out in faith. Now listen to me, Christian. A decision is not going to have power in your life. It's not going to work in your life. It's not going to be a blessing to others in your life. A decision just ain't going to work without faith in Jesus Christ first. When I was called to preach, I think I remember telling you all that the test that I had to take at seminary and all of this on it, always asking, that you know how these questionnaires go. It was a test. It's a test with my personality sitting there answering some of those dumb questions on it. And was, who talked you in to going into the ministry? And I read that and I thought, what are they talking about? I knew that God called me into the ministry. Wasn't anybody talking. For one thing, nobody believed it when I told it. But it was God. It was the Holy Spirit. It was my Lord and my Savior that I was going to be talking about throughout this career that was calling me to preach His Word. And I'm going down through it. And then I found out that just a little bit further down, it was asking the same question just in a different way. You know how they do those kind. How does he answer it this way? I got so aggravated with it. I took my pen. I just got, because see, when it asked who called you, who was the biggest influence in your life and to go into the ministry? They didn't have the right answer. Do you know on that from the seminary, God's was not even listed. His name wasn't listed. His aunt, uncle, mother, brother, you know, friend, and all of this. So I thought, if, remember, I'm out of the Marine Corps, back from combat and all of this stuff, and I'm going in with this kind of foolishness. So I just mark it out and write God big. I knew good and well, you know, they were doing a little, I fill in, darken the box, and that's how it's going to be counted. But I knew if I had enough marks on there, somebody's going to look at it. And do you know that later on, a couple of years later, as a matter of fact, I was in the office of the dean. And he said, by the way, Larry, I had to chuckle 2 years ago when I saw your answers to the questions we were asking as you were matriculating. And I said, really? And I thought, what in the world did I say? You know, you get to going back that way too. And he, so he pulled out the chart. And so they went ahead and graded me off the chart because I stuck to my calling. It was God. It was never another human being. All down through there, I went and scratched it out and wrote God. And they upped my score because I had done that. I didn't know. I had never been involved in anything like that. I didn't know they were looking deeper into the individual, because I did find out after getting into the ministry that I remember talking to a pastor. He was a friend of mine out of E-Town, and we were talking about ministering for Jesus Christ, and at that time I was in the prison system, jail systems and all, and I said, well, you got to go about your call. He said, my wife's not going to let me do that, Larry. And those of you who know me know that he probably shouldn't have said that. I said, what do you mean your wife's not going to let you? Are you or are you not called by God to preach? He said, well, I might be. But I knew my wife before I knew Jesus Christ. And I said, brother, you got a problem. Now, we did not become close friends. Not just because of that, but because of that first point I want to make to you. If you're stepping out, your decision that you're making does not first and foremost focus on what does Jesus say that you need to be doing, then you need to back up. Because you must look into your own life, into your own heart, and you step out in faith. Amen. You step out believing. Amen. If God has called you, no man can stop you. If God has touched your life, then you give him the credit for being the one that touched your life. Amen. You might love your family. Fine, you're supposed to. But you can never, ever put them before your God. Amen. It happens to be your God that gave you that family. It happens to be your Savior that you're talking to concerning your own children or your own family, saying, Lord, watch over them. That's Jesus. He needs to know you. He needs to hear from you. And that decision must be based on his touch. Now, it's hard making a decision when you're young, isn't it? The reason those of us older folks don't have much of a problem, we forget what decision we're supposed to be making, and we just keep going. No, it's hard, isn't it? To some people, that decision may seem simple. Folks, it's your life, and it's the life of all of those around you. What you do affects everybody you love. What you do affects what's going on in heaven. All heaven sees what Jesus is doing on planet Earth and throughout all creation. So therefore, step out in faith. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. Success is a gift from God. You are a gift from God to all those around you. You are important to God, and God says, now, I've given you life, talk to me. I guarantee you, your Savior will answer. And it'll be your Savior that'll keep his finger on the pulse of your life. So in any decision, first, you make sure you focus on your faith. Take that first step in faith. You want there to be a decent second step? Take that first step in faith. You trust the Lord. Now, don't think for a moment that life is going to just be simple for you. I'm a Christian. You know, that is so wrong for people to tell non-believers that, you know, all you got to do is accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, and everything's going to be perfect for you. Oh, your pastor goes nuts with that one too. What are you talking about? All hell's going to come against that kid. Everything is going to come straight at them. Tell them the truth. Tell them when they listen to what the Lord tells them to do, they will be successful. Amen. But they'll go through hell getting there. Anytime you stand up for what is right, anytime you stand up for me, it's me standing up for the unborn. Listen, folks, I don't back down and I will never. Abortion is murder. I will help the young girls, and I have over the years worked through it. But I also see what has happened to them in the process. Don't call evil good and good evil. That's what's going on around us right now. Oh, they don't mean to write. Yes, they do. I was listening to the news a while ago about this lady. The sheriff was talking, and this lady that called 911 because McDonald's was too slow in the order as she'd gone through the drive-thru. Well, she completely lost it, went inside, and they had a video of her, and she's slapping everything and knocking stuff over and all of this. She lost patience over a hamburger or a Happy Meal, whatever it was. Listen. It's pitiful. I mean, what is wrong with people? But, folks, you stand for what's right. Here's your good one. Would you please use some common sense in everything that you do? Common sense tells you don't walk out in front of that semi. I don't care if you did just get saved. It's going to squish you like any other roadkill. Don't do that. Use common sense in your life. Number two, focus your trust. You got to know who you have trust in. I trust Jesus. Remember years ago, I remember a sign that had out, you walk in the store because they didn't take credit, and said, in God we trust, all others must pay cash. And it is amazing how far away from common sense living we have come. We have fallen. Focus your trust. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Fear of man is a dangerous trap. Now, preacher, if you keep taking a stand like you do on abortion and on all of this other stuff, then, you know, somebody will defrock you. Well, I got news for you, folks. It happened to be Jesus that called me to preach, and it'll be Jesus that'll take me out, and nobody else should try, because the Word of God will stand. If it's not the truth, why does it bother them? Fear of man is a dangerous trap, but to trust in God means safety. I can't go over the situation, the incidents on the past 42 years I was in the criminal justice system, prisons and jails. How many times it was Christ to save my life from stabbings, from whatever was going on. And many I know that I knew nothing about. You know why he was there? He called me to be there. You know why he's in those situations in your life? Because he touched your life, that those situations were going to come about in your life. It's your problem is not at all the problems with a particular situation or an incident. Your problem is not trusting Jesus to handle it, to deal with it. He takes care of your light work and your heavy work. He takes care of his Father's work. That's why he came. That's why you're alive. Jesus wants to still use you, wants to bless your life, wants to bless others that come in contact with your life because of you. So focus your trust. Next. Oh, what a good thing. Christian, check the Bible. If what you're doing goes against God's word, stop. Check the Bible. Proverbs 28, verse 26. A man is foolish to trust himself. Well, hey, how many times you been there? I don't even have to ask that question. Oh, you know, I've done this so many years. Man, I'm good at what I do. And I know I'll just push that board right through that saw without having to use a block or anything else. Fingers gone, and you're wondering what happened. Well, you just had a bad case of the stupids. That's what happened. Don't you understand? The Lord wants you, again, in your everyday walk. Check my word. Walk the path that I lead you on. A man is foolish to trust himself, but those who use God's wisdom are safe. God's wisdom. Sometimes the human nature takes over. And we get so proud of who we are. You know, it's just like raising your kids. You know, you say, I'm so proud of your son or of your daughter. And the father says, yeah, I did do a pretty good job, didn't I? And then they do something wrong. And the father says, talk to his mother about that one. I told her not to let him do stuff like that. You see, that's the trouble with life. The big problem is you and I focusing our mind. My life is making decisions in Christ. So therefore, if you don't take all the credit for everything, then you're not going to get all the blame for everything. So therefore, check the Bible. Use God's wisdom. Is this wise in God's word? Number four, I want you to set a goal. And I'm going to tell you what that goal is according to the scripture. I want you to set a goal in your life. Philippians 3, verse 14. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. That's the goal. The prize is of the upward call. That should be your goal in your life, in your walk. Your goal is what's going to be best according to your Savior for you and for all those around you. Of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus at you go. I want to do what my Savior wants me to do. Now, folks, I'm not telling you you're not going to have trouble. I'm not telling you it's not going to hurt as you're walking through life. But I am going to tell you this. Guarantee it. You will finish the race. See, the race has already been won by Jesus. And I happen to know his name. And I happen to realize that if I know his name, folks, it's who I know that gets me in heaven, not what I know. It's who I know. It's that personal relationship. That's setting a goal. My goal's the same goal that Paul's goal was. It's the goal of pleasing my Savior. It's the goal of looking up and knowing that he's there. Doesn't matter about the rocks that are being thrown. Doesn't matter how many times they'll hit you. What matters is Jesus and you still have eye contact. Still have that eye contact. Jesus looking at you, you looking at him. And everybody's wondering why you're smiling. How could anybody who hurts that bad or be in that much many dire straits have a smile on their face? Well, it's all in who you know. When Jesus is looking at you and life is pounding on you, that's a contact gaze that he will have with you, folks, that nothing can break. Nothing can separate you from that gaze. Jesus is watching. Therefore, number 5, ask for godly advice. Now, do not go to one, let's say, a non-believing alcoholic friend to ask their advice as to whether they think you ought to join them in the local tavern. No. Always focus on godly advice. Why do people go to ungodly people to get advice about matters that deal with the reality of life? God is the reality of life. So therefore, ask for that godly advice. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans succeed through good counsel. You hear me? Oh, you always get counsel. I ask all of you all stuff all the time. The body of believers of Vine Grove Baptist Church, those are the ones that I ask advice from. We're family. I want to know what you think. Now, in Proverbs 22:3, we see this word again. A sensible man. I've told you, use common sense in your whole life. Trust in Jesus. And I guarantee you, you'll do just fine. Now, I'll also let you know again, you might not end up doing what you think you want to do. Because when you truly follow the Lord, you follow his direction. And his direction's not easy. But I told you all how much I love grouchy people. I do, because, I mean, they're just as blunt as they can be. They're grouchy as they can be, but they're just as blunt. Well, that's what I believe, preacher. I said, yeah, but I don't care because you're a grouch and it just doesn't matter to me. No, that's not what I say. What I say is, thank you for your opinion, your advice. And the majority of them, oh, and a lot of grouches are Christians. You all know any? A lot of grouches are Christians. I'll leave that alone too. A sensible man watches, listen to it, watches for problems ahead and prepares. You're on the journey of life. Your pastor's warned you. Life has warned you. There are going to be problems ahead. Watch for them. The reason you get caught with those problems so many times is you weren't watching. Well, I just wasn't paying any attention. Folks, life is you need to be paying attention. You need to be paying attention. Second guess what might be around the curve. And you pray to God that it's not. You got me? Always think ahead. What would Jesus want me to do in a situation like that? People say, well, that's so trite. No, it's not. Not for me. I'm a Christian. I've lived a great life. I'm blessed by a great God. But he decided I ain't coming home yet. So we stuck with each other again. And we do it out of love. You know, can you imagine what it takes to be married 50 years to Larry out there? Kathy is one solid, gold-hearted lady. It is a blessing each one of us are to one another. You may question, why didn't my life go this way or that way? Because that wasn't your life. God didn't make a mistake with you. God didn't make a mistake giving you independent thought. He did not make a mistake when he trust you to be about your father's business. You know why I know that? And I really love this part. Jesus sees me and you as already there with him. He sees us completed. You and I see us broken. We look inside our own heart and say, you know, I've got a lot of work to do on this. When Jesus looks at you, he's loving you, reaching his hand out as the completed you. He knows you're complete in him. He sees the job of you already completed. And he's waiting to welcome you home. Don't you see? Making decisions is very important. But the most important thing about that decision is you put Christ first in that decision making. A sensible man watches for problems ahead and prepares to meet them. The simpleton never looks and suffers the consequences. Well, each of us talk about, you know, as a Christian, I know I'll sin, but I am forgiven. I'm going to be in heaven. And folks, that's fact. That's the way it is. Once you've said yes to Jesus Christ, nobody's going to pull you out of his hand. But here's something I want to add with you on this. Even though people will say to you, but you will have to suffer the consequences of those sins in your life because your embarrassment or you see the hurt that it caused or any of that. But let me add this with you. You won't have to suffer all the consequences. No. You see, you underestimate the love of Jesus. The consequence to my foolishness, my foolish actions over life, are that I'm hurt that I did it or that I cause others to go through it. Be sure your sins will find you out. That's what that means. That's what that means. Be sure your sins will find you out, but they will not control you nor your destiny. Because life is decision making. Sometimes we don't make decisions that are the best for us or those around us. But I guarantee you, when I'm in the mess, it'll be my same Savior that'll be by my side. And He'll be taking a lot of the hit for me. I will take what my mind has said for me to take. And I'll have a Savior standing there saying, "Larry, why didn't you give me all of it? I'd be more than glad to take it for you." And you know how He'd close it? "I love you." Proved it, didn't He? That's God's word. Doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, dear Lord God, for the blessings and joy, for the love of life, and for the lives that You love. Thank You for touching hearts, Father. Thank You, dear Lord God, for encouraging us along life's way. Thank You, Father, for never leaving nor forsaking us. Thank You, Father, for being our Father. Thank You, Lord, for our salvation and for hanging on to us. We ask Your blessings now. Father, as each one decide to depart and go in different ways, that You'll protect them as they travel. Be with them this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. During a time of invitation, I want to give you the opportunity, my friends, to listen to whatever Jesus is telling you to do. You do that. Have you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Do you want to? Have you followed Him in baptism? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Do you need to make a commitment? You make that commitment to Him. We're here to pray with you and for you.